Welcome to the Team Flower Podcast. My name's Kelly. This is where we talk about flowers with people who've dedicated their lives to sharing them with the world. Thank you for being here today. Today, our special guest is Margot Shaw. She is the founder of Flower Magazine and author of Living Floral. She is a native of Birmingham, Alabama, and studied art at Hollins College in Virginia and interior design at the University of Texas. Working alongside the floral and event designer for her daughter's wedding, she recognized the artistry and inspiration involved in floral design and soon began apprenticing with that same designer. Unable to locate a publication that spoke to her passion, she set about creating one and launched Flower Magazine. In this episode, Margot talks about the story of Flower Magazine, how it came into existence from her dream of a botanical lifestyle. You'll hear what it means to live with flowers, not just work with them. And we're also chatting about Margot's wonderful new book, Living Floral. So be sure to head over to the Team Flower blog to find out where you can grab a copy for yourself. This podcast is brought to you by Team Flower, an online support community dedicated to educating, connecting, and empowering flower lovers worldwide. Together, we are loving the world through flowers. We provide online classes, in-person events, and free weekly resources designed to support you in your journey with flowers. So whether you're a professional florist, flower farmer, or you just love flowers, know that there's a place for you here at our table. We are excited to have you here. Come join the party at teamflower.org. Margot, welcome to the podcast today. It's great to have you.
Thank you so much for having me, Kelly. And thank you for all you do with Team Flower to make the world more beautiful.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you are the founder of Flower Magazine, and you've got a brand new book out. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about your background just to get started here, and then talk a little bit about some of those other things as well. So tell us about your background with flowers.
Interesting. I am sort of the least likely person to be doing what I'm doing because I really didn't have any history of working with flowers or gardens. What I had was a childhood escapade where I came upon somebody's hyacinth bed in our neighborhood and harvested them all and took them home to my mother at age 5 and proceeded to get a huge spanking. But what?
Oh, that's so funny. I read that in the little intro of your book, and that was my little story. I was like, I wanted to talk about that story. That's so cute.
Well, it's really true. And I remember thinking, she is going to be so excited, my mom. And she was not. And she was the opposite of excited. And she, you know, was waiting with a hairbrush in her hand because my neighbor had called her. And so anyway, that was my first brush with, literally, figuratively, with flowers. And then probably about 6 years later, I remember being at my grandmother's house, and she had this big lawn with beautiful daffodils. And I pulled out all these containers and in her pantry, and then went out and harvested every last one of her daffodils. I don't know what it was about me and you know, just
every last one.
leave no flower unpicked. But anyway, she was a super Southern, you know, lady, sort of a steel magnolia, very feminine, but tough. And I was a tomboy. I rode horses. I played field hockey and tennis. And we just never jibed at all until she came upon me organizing these flowers in containers. And she thought, there I was in my riding boots and my cutoffs and ponytail. But she was like, some vestige of femininity. Yes. And so she just made over me like crazy and offered to get me flowering lessons and all this stuff. I was like, nah, I want to go ride my horse. This was a one-off. But I did have this early yen for flowers and beauty and natural beauty that really didn't come alive until, frankly, when I started working for a floral designer that had done my daughter's wedding when I was 46.
Oh, wow.
There was a big void in there for years and years and years, and other things that happened that weren't as beautiful. that I won't really go into. But so yeah, flowers kind of brought me back.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Yeah. Okay. So kind of through the process of working on your daughter's wedding flowers, you rediscovered this kind of thing that had maybe just been sleeping in you for a long time.
I think so. I had studied art history and interior design, both of which sort of prepared my eye to really appreciate the beauty of flowers and gardens, but also to really recognize excellent photography and good composition and scale and things like that that matter in the visual arts so much, especially in publishing. And I also had worked during my daughter's wedding. I had worked alongside Sybil Sylvester, who is in the book. She is my mentor. She taught me everything that I know about flowers and arranging and event design and things like that. So yeah, I just watched her work and worked alongside her and thought, wow, this is an art form. This is a lovely, life-giving art form. And so I went to work as an intern, unpaid, for her at age 46. And I just drank it all in. It was really, really... It was like something awakened in me and the curtains were drawn back on this whole world of exceptional beauty. So I'm very thankful.
I love that. So how did the magazine kind of come out of that experience? What made you decide, it takes a lot of work to get something started and put together and moving and all those things. What was it that just, you were like, I've got to do this. We need to do this.
Well, it was interesting. I had been working there for a couple of years and just really could never find a publication that spoke to my passion, which was not just flowers, but a botanical lifestyle.
Right.
And so I had about $60 or $70 worth of magazines that I'd gotten to, you know, fly to the islands over Christmas one time. And I remember looking through all these wonderful shelter and garden magazines and saying, no, that's not it. No, that's not it. And finally, this voice in my heart said, there's no flower magazine. You need to start a flower magazine. And I, for some reason, I knew that it wasn't just a good idea. It was a God idea. Mm-hmm. And that has really been the crux, is to just, because so many wonderful things have happened and opportunities have arisen that I never, you know, it's just little me. I have no background in publishing. I wrote for The Prattler in fifth grade at Brookhill School for Girls.
Mm.
That is my publishing provenance.
Mm.
And so it was miraculous. And it's been slow and hard work.
Right.
Don't get me wrong, but it's been sort of like if I go through the next door that opens, the person or the place or the story or the connection or the mentor that I need is on the other side. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to sound too sort of woo-woo, you know, metaphysical or anything, but that's really how it's been.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's so fun. Starting a business is, it is a lot, or following a dream, you know, whatever it is, doesn't necessarily have to be a business, but it is a really fun adventure of discovery and connections and friendships. And I love that. It's so fun to hear. It's so fun to hear your perspective on that. Well, tell us how flowers have made an impact in your life, you know, maybe since you've, you know, before, or maybe even since you've started the magazine, or maybe even with this book, has there been some experiences or some things maybe that flowers have taught you, or just different ways that they've resonated that have been impactful or meaningful to you?
I have had, as I said earlier, I've so had my eyes open to the incredible perfection, frankly, of flowers. I think in this world, we're constantly seeking that in one thing or another. And when I tell people who are wanting to arrange or design or garden that are intimidated, I just say, you are beginning, you're starting, your raw material is perfection.
Mm.
You cannot screw this up. And so when I learned that you know, you're starting with this wonderful plant material that is just, it's frankly miraculous. If you look at a rose or a peony, you think, who made that? That is amazing. So I just encourage people, and it's been fun for me, who was so encouraged by Sybil, to just dig in. So it's fun for me to empower other people. We just did a Valentine flower workshop at the YWCA in Birmingham, and 10 women who really don't have homes and are marginalized and at risk and all that. And to watch them open up like a flower as they realize that they could create something beautiful and not be into, you know, several of them were very intimidated, but to watch them invest time and effort and frankly, you know, being self-conscious because they're all in there. And anyway, not to go too far into that, but that is a rewarding aspect of flowers to me. It's what happened to me. And so to see that mirrored in other people's lives is hugely gratifying. And so I don't know if that answers your question, but
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It is that, you know, watching the flowers unfold and open up, and that's what you experience and what I've experienced with flowers as well. There is this coming out and this bloom that happens whenever we can kind of step into that and, you know, be brave and let the elements hit the inside of our petals instead of just the outside. It's really, it's a special thing, and it's beautiful what the sun and the rain and all the things, how they work together in our lives, you know, good times, bad times, windy times, all in between, to help us, you know, rise up and become what it is that we were made to do. So yeah,
exactly. Absolutely. Great. Love it. Great image. Great so metaphor. Good. Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by the Team Flower Wedding Florals Workshop. Join us for a creative retreat in the mountains as we explore my step-by-step system for offering wedding florals. It's wonderful if you're just thinking about starting a flower business, all the way up to being in business for quite a long time. If you want to streamline systems and get started on the right foot, this is the curriculum for you. You'll learn everything that you need to get a floral business up and running, and you'll be ready for your first client or your 100th client. You'll learn mechanics and design for arbors, bouquets, centerpieces, and more while practicing with all the flowers you could dream of. We'll also cover the ins and outs of pricing, consults, contracts, and there's lots of samples. With both online and in-person components, our curriculum is designed to set you up for lasting success in the wedding event and floral market. At this workshop, you'll learn not only to make arrangements, but to read arrangements and critically think about them. Your creativity is going to be encouraged in a safe setting, and you'll receive personalized attention each step of the way. If you're ready for a perspective shifting hands-on experience with flowers, you can learn more at teamflower.org/workshop. Well, tell us a little bit more about Flower Magazine and kind of the different sections that you have and the things that you are talking about in the magazine, maybe for somebody who isn't familiar with it. Familiarize us a little bit more with your work there.
Sure. We started, as I mentioned, I wanted a Southern accents sort of publication, but with a botanical profile, a voice that spoke to more than just shelter magazines. I wanted something that was alive, but I wanted to focus on flowers, of course. And so we started more specifically branding just about flowers and arranging and weddings and flower shows and all things flower. And very soon I realized that for me to really articulate my vision, I was going to have to bring in more content and more varied content. So I began to hire people from around Birmingham. I don't know if you're aware, but Birmingham is a publishing hub with Hearst has some titles here and Southern Progress. It's now Meredith is here and Hoffman Media. Yeah, they're just, there's so much talent concentrated in Birmingham that when some of the titles began to shutter, I would sort of be at the back door saying, come on to my house. come work for me, mm-hmm. you know? And so I ended up with incredible editorial talent, including our managing editor, Alice Doyle, and our creative director, Ellen Padgett, who both came from Southern Progress, as well as some of our contributors, Karen Carroll, who was the editor-in-chief of Southern Accents, just things like that. So that they all had shelter backgrounds. And Alice, as a matter of fact, had a lot of fashion background. And so they came in between my floral and garden and their experience. We really wove together this wonderful tapestry that is now Flower, which is more interior design, garden design. There's even some fashion, furniture, historic gardens, historic houses and gardens, you know, tips and book reviews of beautiful gardens and locations and interior designers. Just, it's a real, I won't say hodgepodge because it's always very ordered and flowy and, but it's a lifestyle mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. It's a lifestyle magazine that before it was really a flower lifestyle, only flowers, literal arranging and things like that, as I've said. And now flowers permeate every facet of the edit. So it's just a little more fun.
I love that. Yeah. And you also have, well, I'm not sure if this is still a part of the magazine, but you do have like a flower how-to arranging kind of step-by-step that has different designers from all over the country. And that's a fun little piece of it too, that I enjoy seeing who you've got in there.
We will never not have that. That has been in since the beginning and people love it. And it's part of my mission, which is to sort of democratize flower arranging and gardening, to really communicate that you can do this. And here are the steps. And here's this person that is going to show you so you don't need to worry, and just make it really accessible to everyone, whether mm-hmm. you buy a bunch of Astromeria at the grocery store or you're working with peonies from your garden. There's always something that you can learn and to really simplify and lose the intimidation factor.
Absolutely.
It's so funny. I will add this. I can be at the most illustrious Garden Club of America group or a tiny women's group somewhere. Doesn't matter. I will say, who in here is a flower arranger? Two people might just timidly stick their hand up. And then I'll say, who here likes to arrange flowers? They'll all raise their hands. So there's this level of, I don't want to say that I'm a flower arranger because that's pretentious or braggy or whatever, or I don't know that I am, or, and it's just, there's nothing to be shy about. Again, starting with perfection. So it's just funny how we hesitate to call ourselves, I'm not an artist. I just like to paint these incredible canvases, you know, or whatever. So that's been interesting for me. But yes, the step-by-steps, we call it now arrangements. It's in the front of the magazine. And actually in the back of the book, we have, I think, four or five.
Yeah. Yep.
Arrangements. And those are beautifully wrought by Mimi Brown, she started with me. And she was our first mechanics editor. It was called Mimi's Mechanic. And she would come with a beautiful arrangement, break it down, we'd photograph it. And she is incredible. And so it was fun to get her to come back to Birmingham from New York and reprise her role. And those are great as well. They sort of run the gamut from a table runner to a simple posy of violas and purple pansies, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm looking at it right now. I love that one that just has, I think pansies as a cut flower are very, very sweet. I love those. They just have such a beautiful, just beautiful painting on the petals. And I feel like they are that really classic kind of Victorian, I don't know, everybody has kind of a connection to the violas or the pansies in some way or form. Actually, I think I was reading that Sybil, wasn't that her first kind of experience with flowers, was that she liked picking those and turning them into little chains and things like that.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've read that story. I need to go back. But yes, Sybil had all kinds of fanciful childhood experiences with flowers that really stuck with her. And she talks about that. And she is still, I tell people, she's still, even though I worked with her so long ago, she's still in my top five in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's awesome. Yeah, Sybil, I follow her on Instagram and love her work. Actually, we'll have to reach out to her and have her come and do an interview here too, if she'd like. But
she'd be great.
Yeah, she would be great. So the book that I was just kind of referencing that story from, you have collected stories from about how many? Several designers and entertainers, and not just floral designers, but interior designers and all kinds of different types of artistic mediums that you have combined in this book, and everybody's sharing a little bit of their story and their life with flowers and giving tips and tricks. Tell us, I don't know, let's just talk about one of the people who are featured in your book.
Well, it is really extraordinary that we have gathered all this talent, and it is mainly because of the magazine, which fed into this. We have access to so many interior designers, garden designers, floral, culinary, it's architects. It's a little bit of everybody that's been in the magazine. And so I'm trying to think, let's see, who would you like me to talk about?
One of my favorite pages is the Cottage Living. Frances Schultz from East Hampton, New York. She has this beautiful green room with all kinds of different foliages on the pillows and brightly colored wallpaper. I love all of that. So anyways, it looks like you've got, yeah, if you just want to.
Yeah, Frances she's from Tarboro, North Carolina, and she has been in New York and California for I don't know how long, in East Hampton. She sadly has sold Bee Cottage, but it's sort of a season in her life that ended, and she sold it, and I was sorely tempted to buy it, but I'd never get up there, maybe once a year. So that was not a good investment. But she is very talented. She's been a contributing editor for House Beautiful, and she has been in Flower a couple of times and has this wonderful book. I think it's The Making of, I can't remember, Bee Cottage. And it's all about the process that she went through while decorating it. And she is a flower girl. You know, she's got a beautiful, very compact garden, which can often be even more challenging than acres and acres. Mm-hmm. And this house that is full of her personal objet and very floral. The decor is very floral. It's not overwhelmingly so, but like even in one of those images, there's a sort of a Suzani tablecloth outside, and that's floral. You don't think of that in these more graphic sort of Eastern European textiles, but it is. And so the room that you reference is sort of garden room. And it's just, it is just an explosion of green. And then the flowers that she adds, always bright colors that play well with the bright greens. And it's just a place. I've been in there numerous times. And whenever I walk in there, I'm just happy.
Yeah. Yep. It's amazing how spaces can make us feel that way. And I feel like a room with flowers in it, you know, that's the thing that I gravitate towards when I'm in a room. It's like that. It's like the crown jewel, like the finishing little mm-hmm. sparkle fairy mm-hmm. dust in mm-hmm. a room. And no matter what our living situations, you know, are like, whether it be that you have this, you know, really fancy furniture or your mid-century modern person, or, you know, you have, you know, your grandma's writing desk that has been, that has just been a part of your family, or maybe, you know, something from the Restore or Home Goods or whatever it may be. I just feel like that little touch of flowers is a way. You'd mentioned accessibility, and flowers are blooming everywhere. Dandelions show up in fancy gardens, and they show up in alleyways and everywhere in between. And so we all have access to that little bit of sparkle dust, which I think is fun.
I love that. I love that phrase, fairy dust, sparkle dust. That is, it does add shimmer to any kind of environment.
Financial support for the production of this podcast is brought to you by Team Flowers Centerpiece and Reception Online Class, a comprehensive course covering techniques and mechanics for a variety of reception needs. If you're looking for an easy to understand process for designing in the garden style while meeting your client's budget, then this class is for you. You'll discover tools to design both garden style flower arrangements and big picture receptions at a wide variety of price points. Learn how to keep a client within budget without compromising your profit margins or time. We'll cover 15 different centerpiece designs in a wide variety of shapes, sizes, heights, and colors. Other essentials like cake decorating and chair backs are covered too. Each tutorial is crafted purposefully to equip you with both design and business tools essential for success in the wedding floral industry. Reception flowers are often the largest portion of the event budget for a client, and they also typically take the largest portion of our internal production budget. Learn to master this aspect of planning a design, and you'll be able to tackle any bride's request with confidence. Ready to learn more? You can find the details at teamflower.org/online.
And one of the things about flower and living floral is that these designers are walking you through simplifying parties, decor, arrangements, and it's so clear that they all would never consider life without fresh or floral chintz or wallpaper, or just going in the garden and cutting and bringing in. And what an important and salutary element that is, that they add to their lives. And, you know, it's not just fresh flowers is what I'm trying to get around to. If you look at the cover of the book, there's a beautiful, very loose, lush arrangement of flowers in Francis Schultz's living room. But there's also a floral sort of crewel work pair of pillows. And then there's some other botanical elements in the image. So it's this subtle reference, aside from just the more obvious, gorgeous, fresh flowers. There's just everywhere you look, you're going to find something from the outside that has been brought in through the design canvas. And so I love that. It can be, you know, it can go badly awry if you lay it on too thick. But I think when done properly and with restraint, but, you know, adding things that are beautiful with botanical references, there's nothing fresher. There's nothing more energizing, more happy. So that's kind of what we're about in the book. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Something else I noticed in the book, like a little, I'm always looking for patterns. I don't know. My brain just kind of does that. But in the tips that people gave, I noticed there were several people who said that one of the first things that they do whenever somebody comes into their space or their home or to a party is that they are giving them a drink. They're giving them some kind of refreshment. And I thought that that was, you know, that's a very small gesture and a very small thing, but it is kind of like with the flowers. It's something that allows us to open up, to bloom, to feel at ease, and to settle in. So I think that was a fun little tip that I noticed in the book. And then I also loved the Dining in the Meadow with P. Allen Smith. Have you been to his farm in Arkansas? I didn't realize that he had a farm here in the States. I had always thought that he was in England. So, that was fun to know that that's a place that I could go and hang out sometime.
You can. I have not. I was just with him in Houston for a big event we do there with all kinds of designers, and had dinner with him and then went to his presentation, and he's extraordinarily gifted as a plantsman and a gardener and a designer. And he's a great and hilarious speaker.
Yes.
but I have not been to Moss Mountain Farm, and it is on my bucket list. It's not on my bucket list. It's just on my list. Yeah. I'm going to get there sooner rather than later. But he studied in England, and that may be what you're thinking. And he had the television show on PBS for all those years. But he's so classically trained, which is very attractive to me. I love to sit at the feet of people who can tell you where their ornamental farm came from and use the French term ferme ornée, you know, where, and they studied Washington and Jefferson and Capability Brown and this and that famed and esteemed gardener. And you know that what's been pulled together and woven together on their site is steeped in history and tradition and yet has their signature. Yeah. And he is really, I don't know anybody else like him. He knows more about chickens than anybody I would ever dream of knowing.
It sounds like he's definitely a learner. He loves to read, loves to, you know, just become excellent at everything that there's an interest for.
Well, he's interested in conservation and the environment, and he's concerned about at risk or endangered species. And several of these more fancy hens are endangered. And as a matter of fact, he and James have two Scotties, the black terriers, Scottish terriers, and they're endangered.
Oh, wow. I didn't know.
So they're just starting to breed those. Well, it's a happy problem in that so many people are rescuing. But then you rescue, and so you lose the demand for these purebreds, and you lose the breed after a while. This is not a floral conversation, but it's about but it's about P. Allen. It's about P. Allen, and he is such a contributor to the beauty of the earth and the richness of it. I can't say enough about it.
Yeah, if you happen to be listening and you aren't familiar with him or his work yet, I would just really encourage you to go ahead after the podcast is over, when you're back where you can Google something, look him up, follow him on Instagram. I just find his work to be very inspiring. And this conversation and reading his story in your book makes me want to look into his life and work even more. So I'm really grateful for your work, Margot, for the way that you're bringing people together, not just in fresh floral, but across all different kinds of art forms that are involving flowers, and just creating this beautiful form where we can connect and we can be inspired by one another. So thank you so much for your work and being here with us today.
It is my pleasure. You are one of the best interviewers I have ever had.
That's really kind. Thank you.
But Kelly, thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks again for coming and for being on the podcast.
My pleasure. Take care.
Bye. If you enjoyed today's episode of the Team Flower Podcast, would you help us by leaving a rating and review? The more ratings and reviews, the easier it is for other flower lovers to find the podcast. Thanks for being a part of Team Flower and helping us build this dream together. We're so grateful.